Boker Tov. The daf for today is Kuf Aleph. We'll start with the Mishnah on the top of the daf. And we're talking about closing doors on Shabbos. Now, the background to this Mishnah is the Malacha of Bone. And in certain cases, it's obvious that the door is part of the building, it's part of the structure. By closing the door, you're in no way creating a new binyan, but in many cases, they used to use doors, especially on the rechava. If you remember, the word rechava refers to the back entrance, and they used to use doors that weren't obvious to be doors. They were only used sort of like on a temporary basis to close the gap in any sort of an opening or an entrance on the back. And in those cases where it's very aroy, it's very temporary, and it's not obvious to the spectator that it's a kavua, it's a regular delis that's part of the structure, it looks like you're adding something to the building. And even though it's not a violation of meleches bona on a doraisa level, but nevertheless, midrabanan, it's nira kibona, it looks like bona. And the delis that we're referring to is called a muktza or muktze, hadelis sheba muktze. And Rashi interprets this muktze as referring to a door on the backside, the entrance meachore abayis, on the outside in the back of the house, and it's not set up with a pivot or a hinge on a permanent basis. And therefore, the Mishkan is going to say, ain no limbo. You're not allowed to close it because it's near a kibona. Another similar scenario is chadokim shebepirtzu. What they used to do is, if there was an opening going out to the chotzer, they would close up or clog up the opening by putting chadokim. Chadokim are called chavilos kotzim. They used to pile up little thorns or twigs, and they used to close up the back. And sometimes they used to use it as a door, kind of a substitute. They would open it and close it. This also is prohibited. V'chein, and also machatzolos. These were mats that were made of thin reeds. And again, sometimes they were designated to close an opening. All these are very temporary kinds of doors, and it's not really part of the structure of the building, and therefore when you close an opening with those kinds of temporary doors, that's considered nira kibona, ein nolim b'hem. However, elim kein gvoim min ha'aretz. If these kinds of temporary doors, stopgap doors, are above the ground, they don't reach all the way to the ground, they're not what's called nigrar, they're not dragging on the ground. In such a case, since it's suspended in air, it is already considered muchan nira lisgira v'dome l'shar d'losos. That's the language of the Piskei Arid. It appears to the eye as being something that's designated exclusively for closing the door, closing the opening. And the Mishnah seems to assume that we need the following conditions to be met in order to close the door. Number one, it's got to be in some way connected to the door. You're not adding something that's totally disconnected. It's got to be kashur, as we say. Number two, it has to be above ground level. It's tolui. It's suspended in air. And this is called gvoim min ha'aretz. Once you have these conditions, then it's obvious, as we said before, that it's a delis. But if it's not above the ground level, but rather it's nigrar, it's dragging on the ground, then you're not allowed to use that to close your door, because it looks like it's not mechubar, it's not connected to the building, to the structure at all, and therefore it's binyan. You're creating, or at least it's nira kibona, when you use it as a closure. The Gemara immediately asks, a question from what seems to be a contradiction to our Mishnah from a Braisa, because our Mishnah says that these delossos, these various kinds of doors that are not kvuos, that are not established in a permanent basis, are not to be used on Shabbos to close an opening, unless, as we said before, it's tied down to the structure, it's elevated above the level of the ground. But what are we going to do with the following braisa? The braisa says, Delos hanegreres, which means that despite the fact that the door is dragging on the ground, it reaches all the way down to the ground level, v'chein, and also machatzeles hanegreres. Once again, we have these mats that are used to close up openings, and they are reaching the ground level. V'kankan hanigrar. Kankan is a handle that is used for a threshing utensil, and he wants to use it on a very temporary basis to close an opening, and yet it's nigrar. So again, all these three cases, including delos hanigreres, machzelos hanigreres, kankan hanigmar, they're all dragging on the ground, and the braisa has only one condition, and that is that even though they're dragging on the ground, if they're kshurim and tluyim, if they are tied down, and the top of these various kinds of temporary doors are tluyim, in other words, they are tied down in such a way that they, to some extent, they are apparent that they are used as doors, is nolam ben b'Shabbos v'yein tzarech lom v'yontim. Goes without saying that if you're makil on Shabbos, which is more chomer than yontim, certainly you could be makil on Shabbos. So again, even though in all these three cases that are enumerated in the braisa, the rasheim atachtonim are not gvoim min ha'aretz, the lower part is not lifted above the ground. We said it has to be in our Mishnah, Elim Kein Gvoim Min Ha'aretz. These are not Gvoim Min Ha'aretz. These are Nigrarim, and they are dragged on the ground. Amar Abaye, Bryce says that you have to interpret this Bryce, Kishah Yeshbat Lahem Tzir. These are cases where the doors have hinges or pivots that indicate clearly that they are designated on a regular, permanent basis to be used as a delos. And therefore, when you lock the door, close the door with these kinds of doors that have a tzir, then it's not at all similar to bona. All you need, therefore, are the following two conditions. It has to be kshurim utluyim. It doesn't have to be lifted in its bottom above the ground level. Rava Amar b'shahoyalehem tzir. Rava says that even if right now there is no hinge, there is no pivot that attaches the door in a permanent way, but nevertheless there once was, and you could see apparently what's called Rishumo Nikar, that even if you remove the tzir, apparently the place where the tzir was is still indicative of the fact that in the history in the past there was a tzir, and that's enough to be mochiach, to prove and demonstrate to the onlooker that these serve as, each one as a door. Now, in the Mefarshim here, there's a long discussion about a statement of the Ravid. The Ravid says that everything depends upon a deles that was, in other words, whether it's A or B, and it's mutar or asur to linolbo, depends upon whether or not it was a deles asuya liftoach v'linol tadir. If it was dedicated on a regular, ongoing, continuous basis as a delos to open and close the door, then you're allowed to use that as a door. And everybody knows that it's part of the structure. It's not an addition. It's not something that you're adding to the building as a bona. And in our Mishnah, when the Mishnah prohibits ne'ila, That's in a case where it's not gavah min ha'aretz, where it's dragging on the ground. That's a case where ein heker barur. It's not clear shemeshamshim kedelis, that it's used as a door. Rashi seems to be taking a different approach than the Ravid, that in Muktzeh, in our Mishnah, the reason why it's us is because it's not fastened in the strongest way. And according to Rashi, apparently the din of our Mishnah would apply even in the case of a deles to a house. If it's not mechuberes, it's not tied down in the right way, it doesn't have what we would call a tsuras hadeles, that's the reason why it's also linolbo in our Mishnah. So that the Ravid sees a tremendous significance emphasizing the word muktzeh, because muktzeh means that it's a kind of a door that's not exclusively dedicated to function as a door. Whereas Rashi says that muktzeh is just an example of a door that's not properly connected in a strong chibur to the building, and therefore doesn't have a tsuras hadelis. And there's a long discussion here in the Prima Gadim about the root of the machlokes. At what point is it called nira kibonon its asur? Is it totally as Rashi would have it in the tsuras hadelis, or is it depend upon whether it was designated on a temporary basis or exclusively for a long-term basis? And the Prima Gadim works out a whole slew of nafkaminas here between Rashi and the Ravid. And here we have Machlok Shina Bai Varova, just to reiterate, what happens if there once was a tzir and there's no longer a tzir, the tzir has been removed. Rava says that that's fine because it's Rishumo Nikar, it's obvious that there once was this pivot that connected the door on a permanent basis, whereas Abai says it all depends upon the situation as it is right now. The Gemara now is going to ask Akasha based on another Braisa, and this objection is both according to Abai and Rava. Deles hanigreres umachtzeles hanigreres v'kankana nigra bizman sheyesh lehem tzir ugvoim min ha'aretz afilu melo neymar no'olim bahem v'im lav ein no'olim bahem. In this brisa, it's clear that there's no permission, there's no leniency about locking your door, closing your door with these things, unless you have two conditions, two additions that are met. Number one, you have to have both gvoim in ha'aretz, and you have to have a tzir. And it seems, first of all, it's a question on Rava, because right now, presently, we need the tzir to be materit, and even according to Abai, this is difficult, because Abai would seem to have implied that if there is a tzir, we don't need the other condition of gvoim in ha'aretz. Abai mitaritz l'taymi, Rava mitaritz l'taymi. Each one, respectively, will interpret this price in order to reconcile this price. Abai mitaritz l'taymi, the price doesn't mean that you need both conditions of tzir and gvoim in ha'aretz, that it be on the bottom, lifted up above ground level, but rather the heter, the permission to use this to close your door, is o kishyesh lem tzir, o kishegavoim min ha'aretz. One of those two conditions. And Rava mitaritz l'taymei, Rava's going to interpret when it says tzir, it doesn't mean yesh lem tzir now, but kshahoya lem tzir, in the past it had a tzir. Also, Rava's going to add the word o to interpret our brisa as kishegavoim min ha'aretz, or alternatively, if it's lifted above the ground. Tana Rabbanan, we learned in the brisa, soche kotzim v'chavilin. These are different types of shrubs and thorns and thorn bushes. Sheskinam lepirtza shebechotze. They designated these thorns as a closure for an opening that was breached in a courtyard. Bizman shekshur metuliyim nolim behem b'shabes vein tzoch lo b'yontif. And once we have these two conditions fulfilled, it's kshur mitluyim, then you're allowed to use that to close up this opening in the chutz. Tani Rabbi Chiya, we have a braisa of Rabbi Chiya, deles almona, a widowed door, hanigreres, which is dragging on the ground. In other words, it's not lifted from the ground. So apparently it doesn't have the normal conditions or what we call tikunim hadelas haregilim. We don't have the regular way. It's not only almana, and it's somehow a very fly-by-night kind of delis. It's not your normal delis. And not only that, to boot, it's also nigreris, which we said, that's a no-no. It has to be lifted off the ground. Is a nolimba. The Gemara asks, hechi dami delis almana. What do you mean it's not properly established or manufactured as a delis? What's it lacking? Ikadiyami, according to one opinion, the chadashifa. It's a delis that's made of one board. The normal delis, back in the time of the Talmud, was made of a connection between a number of different boards that were mechubarim. And therefore, since it doesn't have the appearance of a delis, this is very similar to what we said in Rashi, it doesn't have a tzuras hadelis, therefore it's again nira kibbona. And when he puts it against the opening, it looks like he's actually adding something to the structure of the building. Kadiyamri delesle gashma. In other words, it doesn't have a connecting point between the boards, what's called brichim. Brichim are used to connect different kinds of boards. Let me just read to you the English here. Second, he says the following. He says that what is a widowed door? There are those who say it's a door that consists of a single board, and there are those who say that it doesn't have a cross beam to bind parts of the door together. He says doors normally would consist of two boards which were expertly attached together. And then the sections of the door attached with crossbars, external crossbars. Here in the Almona case, it's attached with nails and not crossbars. So there's no tikkun. It wasn't established in the normal way that you would establish a door. Rav Yehuda, hai midurta. Midurta is the Aramaic for midora, some sort of a pyre, as we call it. And usually it was prepared for more important people like officers, and it was in the Tzuras HaBinyan. And it was very close to the Karka. They would organize trees, or I should say logs, flat pieces of wood in a square, and afterwards, they would cover the insides with, or place in the insides of this square of piles of wood, other pieces of wood, and they would normally on a yontif, on a holiday, what they would do is milamala lemata. They would hold on to the top wood and grab it in the airspace, and then they would place the lower boards, the lower logs, underneath them. Now, this is very strange, because you would think that the normal way to set up a pyre would be to first set up the boards on the logs on the bottom, and then add the logs on the top. But Rav Yehuda is pointing out that he wants what's called a shinui. He wants to do it in an abnormal way and start from the top and go to the bottom. We're going to see a number of applications of this principle as we go through the Gemara. So shari, this he's allowed to do, but mimata lemala, if he does it like he does on a weekday, and he piles it up from the bottom with the arichas atachtonim ala aretz, and then he puts the elyonim on top of that, asur. Why? Because it's sort of like he's creating a bit of a structure. It's dome lebinyan ohel. Right? He's sort of like creating walls around, you know, by setting up these four boards, one on top of the other, boards, logs, logs, logs on four sides in a square. And then he covers it over by putting, you know, wood on top. It's like a little bit of a binyan oil. He's got the defanos, he's got a gag. V'chein be'asa. There are other cases in which he's creating something that looks like an oil. Be'asa is an egg, and he wants to fry an egg. So what he's required to do, which is again a shinui, an unusual way, is that he should place the egg on top of the coals, which are being held up by some sort of a metal structure, or al gabi shnei gizrei eitzim. So again, what you're going to have to do is here on Yontif, when you're allowed to cook and bake, but you have a problem of nirikid binyan oel, what you're going to have to do is you have to hold this egg in the air, and then after you're holding the egg in the air, then you put the structure that holds the eitzim together underneath the egg. If he does it the other way around, he creates the structure and then he puts the egg on top, that's called nirek binyan. So that when the egg is already suspended in the air, it looks like he's just, you know, just kind of suspending the egg in order to fry it. V'chein, in other cases, kidra, when they used to put a pot over the fire, they used to also, again, create some sort of a little bit of a structure. They would put different, he says barrels here in this translation, and then they would turn on the fire. But if you want to do this on Yontif, when again you're allowed to cook, then he has to first hold on to the pot suspended in midair, and then place those various barrels, those pots underneath it, in order to hold up the kedera that he's cooking in. V'chein puri, and also with regard to a bed, which is made of a structure, framework, that has raglaim, it has different legs, four different legs on different sides. It also has curtains that are made of hides, leather, or the like. And then they would tighten them together and tie them down to the framework of the bed. And once again, it looks like he's creating an oel, because underneath the bed you're surrounded by on all sides. So therefore on Shabbos and Yontif, what he's going to have to do is he's going to have to hold on to that R that we said, R with an ayin, that is stretching. And then afterwards bring the mezgeret, bring the framework, and place it underneath the R. Velola hepach, and he shouldn't do it the normal way. V'chein chavita, and also with regard to barrels in a cellar that are organized in lines, and what you do is you put one barrel here and then another barrel next to it, and then you put a third barrel on top, and by organizing it in that way on Shabbos and Yontif, once again it looks like it's a kind of a structure, because that's how you build a structure. You have a brick here and a brick there and then a brick on top, you lay it down. So therefore what he's going to have to do here in order to make a shinui is hold on to the top one in the avir, that third chavis, that third barrel that he wants to put on, and then put the other two barrels underneath it. All this is to avoid what's called domer lebinyan. Omalei ahu minah. So let's go over this again. Omaleya hu mino le Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya. Chidka is a coats, a thorn. Tichsiv bechu, that the Navi in Micha writes about Klal Yisrael, that you are thorns. And therefore I'm calling you a thorn. That's this min, this they say it's the early Hebrew Christians. And the Pasuk says, Tovam kechedek. Chedek again is a thorn. And Tovam means the best of you, the best of the Jews, are like thorns. Amalei, so Rabbi Yeshua responds, Shatya, you're a shaita. Shapil l'sefer dekra. Why don't you read the end of the Pasuk? And you'll see that the end of the Pasuk is praising Klal Yisrael. Tichsiv yashar mimesucha. Mesucha is a fence that's made of thorns that protects against outside dangers. That's a mila, that's not a gnai. V'elamai tovam kechedek. So what does the ratio of the Pasuk mean when it compares the best of Israel to a chedek? Kishem shechadokim alolo meginim ala pirtzus. Just like you have these thorns and you pile them up one on top of the other to protect an opening, a breach in a chatzer or so forth, is so too in the nimshal, kach tovim shebanu meginim alenu. The best of our leaders and so forth are yashar mimesucha. They're yesharim, they're reliable, they're trustworthy, they're honest, and they protect us like the gader, like that fence that was made of kotzim. Davracher, another interpretation is tovam kechedek, that sometimes we read a ches as if it was a hay, and it's milashon hiduk. She mahadkim es harashoim. What does it mean? The best of Israel will be mahadik. Now, I'm not sure 100% what the word mahadik means, but I think it means to sort of press our enemies, to pressure them. Shenemar, as it says with regard to the prophecy of the end of days in Micha Novi, it says, Kumi vidoshi bas tzion ki karnech osim barzel uparsosayech osim nechusha vadikos amim rabin. All right. So we'll read this in translation. He says that a certain Sadducee said to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, thorny one, for concerning you it is written, their best, meaning the righteous of Israel, is like a thorn. And to this Rabbi Yeshua responded, fool, go down towards the end of the Pasuk. And it says there, the upright amongst them is better than a shelter. So what does it mean when it says the best is like a thorn? Just like thorns guard the breach in a fence, so to the best amongst us protect us. Another interpretation, their best is like a thorn. This teaches that the righteous of Israel, oh, crush, he used the word crush, we said pressured, the wicked in Gehenom, Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in Micha, arise and thresh, daughter of Zion, because your horn I will make iron, and your hoof I will make brass, and you will crush many peoples. And this leads us to the Mishnah here on Daf Kuf Aleph Omen Aleph. This Mishnah is going to address the question of a person who stands in one Rishus and he carries something in another Rishus, as we learned earlier in the Perek. And now the question is, he's standing in one Rishus and he wants to lock his door with a key that's located in a different Rishus. And the Mishnah records the following machlokes tanoim. The first tana is Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir says, Lo yamod adam b'rshus ha-yachid v'yiftach b'rshus ha-rabin. A person should not stand in a private area and take a lock, a key, from a rishus ha-rabin in order to open his door. Like, let's say, for example, you know, he has a store, and his store opens up into Rishus HaRabim. So he can't take the key from his Rishus HaYochid and open up the door, because now he's going to open it up out into Rishus HaRabim. And this applies even if there's no place for the Mafteach. Af k'she'en mimokom Mafteach el adeles arba amos, even though from the point of the deles until the till the Mafteach there's no four amos, such that he'd be carrying four amos in Rishus HaRabim, and the reverse. Likewise, Rishus HaRabim, he shouldn't be standing in Rishus HaRabim and take the key that's located in the Rishus HaYochid in order to open up his door, Rishus HaYochid. And in all these cases, Rabbi Meir is afraid that if we allow you to do so, you might take the key into your Rishus. In other words, you're not just going to open the door and leave the key in the place where the door is or on the threshold of the, you might carry it inside, and then you'll be violating Meleches Otzah. Elim Kane Asa Machitza Gavo Asar Tfachin. Unless he sets up a machitza that would make the place where he's standing into a Rishus HaYochid. So now, instead of in the last case that we had, where he was standing in Rishus HaRami's outside of the store, he is now standing in a created, an artificially created Rishus HaYochid when you set up this machitza, and that's Rabbi Meir. Omru lo, the Chachamim disagree. And they quote a story that happened in the butcher, in the or maybe it was the weaver's market. Ma'isa b'shuk shel p'tomim shahayu b'yushalayim shahayu. They were standing on Shabbos in Rishus HaRabim v'nolim, and they would lock up their stores that were at a height of above asar tefachim, which means that basically the key is located in Rishus HaYochid. There was a window on top of the door or near the door, and that's where they would place the key, which means that they never took it out into Rishus HaRabim. They left it in the Rishus HaYochid, and we were not worried about the possibility that they would take the key out with them into Rishus HaRabim. And this is a story that came, apparently happened generations or a generation before Rabbi Meir, and the Rabbanon allowed this to go by. Rabbi Yossi Omer Shuk Shel Tzamorim Hava. So the Gemara now is going to deal with this machlokas in our Mishnah with regard to both Rishuyos Doraisa and a Karmelist Rabbanon. So the Gemara asks, for Rabbanon, how could the Rabbanon quote this story in the butcher's market? Omar Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Meir's statement was referring to Rishus HaRabim, which is Rishus Doraisa, and they were afraid that maybe he'll take the key into Rishus HaYochid. Umahadra Inu, but they quoted a story in Yerushalayim. Now Yerushalayim has the status of a Karmelis, which means that the Rishus is only Drabbanon, the Isur is only Drabbanon. So what did they gain, the Rabbanon, by quoting this story that took place in a Karmelis? Rabbi Meir would simply respond that I can refute your proof, because your proof comes from a case of a Drabbana, which means that even in the worst case scenario, if he would take the Mafteach with him where he's standing, well, he's standing in a Karmelis, and Yerushalayim has the status of a Karmelis. The Omar Rabba Barachano Rabbi Yochanan Yerushalayim il Moli dal Sosel Ninolos Balayla Chayovim Oleha Mishum Rishus HaRabim. The status of Yerushalayim would be that of a Rishus HaRabim, because you can go from one end of Yerushalayim to the other end with a highway, with a boulevard that takes you from one end to the other. The only reason why Yerushalayim does not have the status of a Rishus HaRabim, says Rabbi Yochanan, is because they lock the doors at night. The gates of Yerushalayim are locked at night, and therefore, it's not what we call mefulosh. You can't go from one side to the other, split down the middle of Yerushalayim. But rather, Yerushalayim has the status of a Karmelis. So now we're trying to understand, what did the Rabbanan accomplish here by quoting this case that took place in the markets of Yerushalayim? Omer Papa, Kan Kodem Shenifu Tzuba Pratzos, Kan Liacha Shenifu Tzuba Pratzos. historically, the status of Yerushalayim changed. There were two different periods of time. When Rabbi Yochanan was talking about Yerushalayim, he was talking before there were protzos. And since at night they would lock up the gates, therefore it had the status of a Carmelist. But here, back at the time of the Rabbanan and Mishnah, they were talking about Yerushalayim li'achash nifritzu ba protzos, after the enemies had broken down the walls that surrounded Yerushalayim. And if these protzos were wider than Eser Amos, then Kevan Shaprotzos lohayu nin olos klal, they were not locked up at all. So the area of Yerushalayim was completely open on all sides because the walls had been breached, giving Yerushalayim the status of a Rishus Harab. And therefore, they, the Rabbanan, quoted this story to object to Rabbi Meir. And we saw that they were lenient in the case of the butchers in the marketplace in Yerushalayim. Rava Omar, Rava's going to go back to the assumption of the Makshan that we had before, that Yerushalayim has the status of a Carmelist based on Rabbi Yochanan. And now Rava's going to make a leap of faith, and he's going to say that Rabbi Meir did not differentiate between a Rishus HaRabim d'Oraisa and a Carmelist Rabbanon, and the Gzeira of Rabbi Meir applies equally to Yerushalayim as a Carmelist as it does to a Rishus HaRabim. And therefore, Sefer, the proof that the Rabbanon are invoking from Yerushalayim, Asan Lishari Gina, even if we're talking about Yerushalayim as a Carmelist, for example, Shari Gina, which are the gates of the gardens that they would lock up, and they had the status of a Carmelist. And let's read the Mishnah with a little bit of an addition. Hachi Kamar, here's how we have to read the Mishnah. And we're going to add something also to Rabbi Meir. And that is v'chein lo yamad v'shus ha'yochid v'yiftach b'karmelis v'yiftach v'shus ha'yochid. That Rabbi Meir prohibited standing in one rishus and stretching his arm out through a hole into the garden in order to take the mafteach. And even though the garden, the Shari Agino, has the status of a Carmelis, nevertheless, according to Rabbi Meir, we have an equation between a Carmelis and a Rishus HaRabim, and Mirabonin, they both have the same status. And now we turn to Daf, Kuf Aleph, Amid Beis. Elim Kain, Asa, Mechitza Gvoa Asor Tfachim. The Mishnah tells us that Rabbi Meir allows you to take this Mafteach if you create a structure, and as you're standing in a Carmelis, and you want to open up into Rishus HaYochid, you set up a mechitza that surrounds the place where you're standing, and now you're in a Rishus HaYochid. And if you're in Rishus HaYochid, then you can open up the door, which is a Rishus HaYochid. Divrei Rabbi Meir, Omulo, Maisa B'shuk Shel Pitomim, Shoyu B'Shalayim, that had a din of a Carmelist, as we said before, Shoyu Nolim, that the Balei Chanuyos, who opened on Shabbos the doors of their various stores, and the lock itself was above 10 tefachim. And menichim esav tepa chalon shal al gavi a pesach ribusim shush shal tomorrow. They allowed them to open up the doors, which and place the mafteach on the pesach of this door, which is now a rishus hayochid. So you see that they were matir, even for someone who's standing in a Carmelis, to be metaltel, to carry a chefetz, meaning the key, that's in a Rishus HaYoch. They weren't afraid that he's going to take the key back into where he's standing in a Carmelis. Tana Rabbanan. We learned in the Braisa, Pischei Sharei Gina. In other words, there are gates to a garden that separate the garden from the Rishus HaRabim outside the garden. So the garden itself, the Gina, has the status of a Carmelis. And the Pischei Shari Gina are the openings to the gates of the garden. And we're going to learn now a long, complicated braisa with many, many parts to it. Now, they used to set up these locks on a higher level above the karka, 10 tfachim above the karka of Rosh Hashanah, and these, let's call them boxes that used to house the locks, you know, the mechanism of the lock, were very wide. They were arba tfachim. And therefore, they have the status of Rosh Hashanah. Bizman Sheyeshlem Base Shar, they would set up a little bit of a hut, a little bit of a bias that was around the opening to the entranceway into the garden. And now the Bryce is going to differentiate between two different cases, two different scenarios regarding this Base Shar as far as locking the door. Mibifnim, if he's standing on the inside of the garden, then posef and ol mibifnim. He's allowed to open and close from as he's standing on the inside. Why? Because keeping in mind that the box itself, the lock, is in a Rishus HaYochid, and mibifnim, he's standing also inside. Now again, we said before that the Gina has the status of a Carmelis. And this seems to contradict Rabbi Meir, because the way Rava at least interpreted Rabbi Meir, you're not allowed to stand in one Rishus, even if that Rishus is a Carmelis, and stretch your arm into another Rishus. So when it says, Posech v'nol mibifnim, that if he's standing inside the Beis Shar, then we have to assume here, if we want to reconcile that with Rabbi Meir, that he's not standing in the Gina itself. There's this Beis Shar, this little structure that separates Rosh Hashanah from the Gina inside. He's now standing in that little bias, in that Beis Shar, and he's opening or locking his door, which is also there. So everything that he's doing is in Rosh Hashanah. It's actually equivalent to the case that we said before, Elam Kein Asa Mechitza Gavoa Asara, where he surrounds himself with Mechitzos. And this bias has mechitzos. But he would not be allowed to stand outside the bias and open up his door or close his door. Now we go on to a second scenario. And that is mibachutz. In other words, there is this little house, which we call the structure called a Beis Shar. And it is it is mibachutz, and that means that it faces the outside, which is a Rishus HaRabim, and posech v'noel mibachutz. We're only going to allow him to open and lock the door outside mibachutz. Why? Because if he opens it from the outside and he's standing in the Beis Shar, then right now he's in a Rishus HaYochid. So again, as we said before, he could be Posef and Noel. So again, in the first case, he's locking it from the inside. It means that the opening to this little bias, this Beis Shar, is towards the inside of the Gina. And then the other side, it opens only from the outside. Now, Mikan u Mikan, if he has a Beis Shar that has an opening on both sides, both from the Rosh Hashanah on the outside and towards the Gina on the inside, then Posef and Ol Mikan u Mikan. Then when he goes into this Beis Shar, he's standing in a Rosh Hashanah Yochid, it doesn't matter from which direction he locks the door, either from the inside or the outside. But if Ein Lehem Lo Mikan u Mikan, if there's no Beis Shar at all, but rather you just go through an entrance, a gate, straight into the garden that this gate just separates the Carmelis, which is the garden, from the Rosh Hashanah on the outside, then Asura Mikan Mikan. In other words, even though the lock and the key to the lock is inside a Rishus HaYachid, but nevertheless, since he's standing in a Karmelis, or alternatively outside in the Rishus HaRabim, then he cannot be metaltel from there to the place where the manel is, because since the Pesach is coming in from Sarabim or on the other side from the Carmelis, we're always afraid, according to Rabbi Meir, that he may take the Mafteach back with him to the place that he's standing, either in a Shesayochid or in a Carmelis. Now the Brisa continues and says, V'chein Chanuyos, these are storefronts, Hapsuchos Shesarabim, and he wants to open up these stores. Bizman Shamanul Lamata Me'asara. If the lock with the key is below Asara Tefachim, which means that's above 3 Tefachim, it's lower than 10 Tefachim, and therefore it has the status of a Karmelis, maybe Maftech Me'erev Shabbos, he has to take care of this on Erev Shabbos and place the key, Menicho Be'uskupa. He should place it on the threshold of the house. The threshold, the miftana bayit, as we call it in Hebrew, the iskupa, is 3 tefachim high, and it's 4 tefachim in width, and it has the status of a karmelis. So basically, he's already set it up in a way that he's going to open and shut the door while he's in a karmelis, and the key is in a karmelis. And that's fine. And therefore, l'machar poseach v'noel, l'machzir l'iskupa, he has to make sure that on Shabbos itself, he replaces the key on the iskupa. Not to take it out into Rosh Hashanah, because then he'd be carrying from a Karmelis Rosh Hashanah, or to take it inside towards the Chanus, which is Rosh Hashanah. Ubizman Shamana'ul Lamala Me'asara. Now it's even more complicated, because if the lock and key are above 10 tefachim, which means that this whole mechanism called a manu'ul is in itself a reshus hayochid, then he's not allowed to take the key when he's on the iskupa, which is a karmelis, to open up this door, because then he's taking a key from a karmelis into a reshus hayochid. But rather, mevi maftech me'erev Shabbos menichu b'manu'ul, he's got to keep the key located in the keyhole, and he sets that up on Erev Shabbos. And again, keep in mind that the manul, this mechanism, this lock itself, is a reshus hayochid, because, as we said before, it's lomala me'asor and has a rochav of dalet al dalet tefachim. L'mochar, on Shabbos itself, he's standing on the iskupa, and he's allowed to take the key and poseach v'no l'machzir l'makom, and he's allowed to open and lock it and put it back in its place. Divrei Rabbi Meir, this doesn't make any sense, because Rabbi Meir was the one who said that if you're standing in one rishus, even if that rishus is only drabonin, like a karmelis here in the case of the eskupa, then how could we allow him to lock the door that's in a rishus hayochid? Right, we said that the mechanism that holds the lock and the door and the key is a Rishus HaYochid. So now we have a real problem, because Rabbi Meir apparently rescinded his original position, and now he's allowing you, in a case of a Karmelis, to stand in a Karmelis and open up the door in a Rishus HaYochid. For Chachomim Omrim, Af Bizman Shemanul L'malam Me'asor Tefachim, even if the Mal'ul is above 10 Tefachim, which we said makes it into Rishus HaYochid, maybe Maftech Me'erev Shabbos Menichu B'Skupa L'moch Posef V'Noel Machzir L'Mekomo, because again, since the Iskupa is a Karmelis, and the Man'ul is now located in Rishus HaYochid, we're not afraid that he will carry from a Rishus HaYochid into a Karmelis, because even in the worst case scenario that he does so, he only violates the Issur D'Rabbanan. And likewise, O B'Chalon Shal Gabi HaPesach, if you have a chalon on top of this opening in this entranceway, and it's not 4 tefachim wide, so that makes it into a makom p'tur. And we're going to discuss the case of a makom p'tur in a minute. In yesh b'chalon arba al bar, however, if the chalon has the dimensions of Erishus HaYochid, it's Arba al Arba, and it's above 10 Tfachim, is Asur, you're not allowed to take a Mafteach from a Carmelis and place it on this, after he locks it, to place it on the Chalon, because the Chalon is Rishus HaYochid, which takes you Kemotzim Rishus L'Rishus. So now the Gemara wants to clarify the machlokas here between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in the case of the Man'ul that's above 10 Tfachim. The Gemara is medayik, midika omar v'chein chanuyos. That the Brisa here equates the stores to the Gina, michlal de biskupas karmelis haskin. And it must be that when this Brisa refers to the skupa, the threshold of the chanuyos, it's referring to a karmelis, like the case of an askupa. An askupa is a karmelis, and now the chanuyos also is a karmelis. So we're talking about an askupa which has the height of 3 tefachim, but it's less than 10 tefachim, and it's 4 by 4 tefachim wide. So the Gemara now is going to raise the following question. Hai man'ul, this lock that is in the storefronts, and the storefronts, as we said before, open up into Rishus HaRabim, hechidomi. Idul lesbe arba, if the locks do not have 4x4 tefachim, then mokum pturhu. So why would Rabbi Meir say that you're not allowed to take a mafteach that's in the askupa and lock the door because the door is 10 tefachim high, when you're allowed to carry from any rishus into a mokum ptur? So if there's no dalet al dalet, then what would be the reason and the logic for Rabbi Meir to be machmir v'ida ispe, if on the other hand this lock has the dimensions of 4x4 tefachim, and it's above 10 tefachim, then it has the din of Rishus HaYochid Gemura. Is Bahal Lema Rabbanon? Could possibly the Rabbanon say that Af Bizman Shamanu L'Malo Me'asor, maybe Mafteach Me'Rav Shabbos Me'Nichu B'Skupa, U'Lomocha Posef V'Nol Machzir Skupa L'Chanon Shagav Pesach? Okay, very nice. He's standing in a Carmelis, in the Eskupa, and he set up the key on Erev Shabbos in the Eskupa. But how's that going to help him? Because now he's saying that the lock itself is, number one, L'mala Me'asora, and number two, it's Rochav Dalet al Dalet. So he's carrying from a Carmelis into Rishus HaYochid, and that's something that everybody agrees is prohibited. V'hokam etaltel, Carmelis, sorry, mi Carmelis, l'Rishus HaYochid, Omer Abayi Li'olam di'ein bo. This manul is not arba tefachim. It's not 4 tefachim. V'yeshbo, even though it's not 4 tefachim, we're going to apply the principle of chokin lahashlim, according to Rabbi Meir, and it's like it's 4 tefachim. Why is that so? Because yeshbo lachuk ulashlim al arba. The thickness of the area around of the manul is such that if you were to carve out the manul, you could set it up as 4 tefachim. He says here that the delas shamanul kavua bo, which is the meachorei manul, kedei sheyochol lachuk bo, it has the thickness that he can carve it out lashlima lamanul arba b'tziruf shneim v'yachad. So b'hakam ifli, this is an old machlokes of Rabbi Meir and Chacham. Rabbi Meir savachokin lahashlim. You know, it's even though it doesn't have the shear, but he can easily carve out the shear and be mashlim the shear. We view it already now because of the potential as if he already carved it out and has the shear. So that when we add the thickness of the delis, and now we're going to say Chokin Lahashlim, it now has the thickness of Arba Tefachim, it has the same status as a Yochid, then certainly you cannot stand on the Eskupa, which the Karmel is, and be Metaltel, the Mafteach, that's in the Rishus HaYochid. Rabbanan Savri, Ein Chokin Lash. We look at the situation as it is right now, and it doesn't have the width of Arbal Arba, although it has the potential of Chakika, but right now, the depth is not 4x4 tefachim, and therefore remains a makom p'tur, and you're allowed to take from a karmelis into a makom p'tur. Omra baby barabai shmami no mahomas lisut flas. From this long, complicated brayso, we should derive 3 conclusions. Number one, shmami no chokikim lahashlim, that from Rabbi Meir we derive the conclusion that chokin lahashlim, and that's why he says you're not allowed to be metaltim after from the skupa to the model that's above 4 tefachim, above 10 tefachim. Number two, shmamina, from the fact that Rabbi Meir was matir, someone who's standing on his kupa, which is a caramelist, to take the maftech from on top of the manul, which is in a Rishus HaYochin, and open it, is Hodebe Rabbi Meir mi Sharigina. Rabbi Meir now rescinded his original chumra, his original position in the case of Sharigina. We said that Sharigina is a caramelist, and you're not allowed to take the key from the caramelist because you might carry it back into the caramelist. Here, Rabbi Meir rescinded that position, and he only limited his gzera, his isa, to Rishus Doraisa. Can't stand in Rishus HaYochid and be metalt Rishus HaRabim on the opposite. And thirdly, Shmamino Mid Rabbanon, we're going to derive from the Rabbanon because they prohibited you to take the Mafteach after you locked it from the Man'ul, which is a Makom Tur, to the Chalon, which has 4x4, which is Rishus HaYochid. And what that means is that the Rabbanon were afraid that he might take it into Rishus HaYochid, and Isa Lidrabi Dimi, it must mean that this din reflects the principle of Rav Dimi, Dechi Asa Rav Dimi. When Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, he said in the name of Makom She'en Bo Arbal Arba Tefachim, which means that it has the status of a Makom Tur, Mutal of Nei Rishus HaRabim, Vil of Nei Rishus HaYochid Lekatev Olav, Ubevlad Shalo Yachlifu. In other words, they cannot pass something through a Makom Tur from one Rishus to another, from Rishus HaRabim to Rishus HaYochid. So somebody standing Rishus HaYochid can't put it there in a way that somebody standing Rishus HaRabim will take it from that Makom Tur into Rishus HaRabim. And the Rabbanu were afraid if they allowed this kind of passing over, then tomorrow somebody's going to actually take it personally through a Makom Tur into Rishus HaRabim or the other way around. And he says here, "Lamadnu midivrei chachamim shegam bechevet shegia mikarmelis el hamakom tur gazru shalaviro misham l'rishus hayochid." So even if you have an object that came from a karmelis into a makom tur, they're not going to allow you to take it from the makom tur into rishus harab. And even though it didn't come from a Rishus HaRabim, it came from a caramelist through a Makom Ptur, nevertheless, the Rabbanan had this gzera that you're not allowed to take it from the caramelist into the Makom Ptur, from the Makom Ptur into Rishus HaYochid, because we're afraid he might do the same thing in a Rishus HaRabim. And this leads us to the Mishnah here on the bottom of Kuf Aleph Amud Beis. And I think this Mishnah, we will just read very superficially, and in order just to complete the daf, neger, so you have now a yosed, which you knock into an opening in the threshold, and that kind of yosed will serve as a doorstopper. And since it's located on the bottom where the threshold is, it's going to keep the door closed, so to speak. So the door will not go beyond and open up out into the public area because it's being held in place by this neger. Sheyesh b'roshol glustera. What they did is they put a round ball that they attached to the top of this yosed. And that makes this into a kli, because you can use it to chop up pilpulin or something along that line. I think in English it's called a pestle, if I'm not mistaken. Is Rabbi Eliezer Oser? Rabbi Eliezer says that you're not allowed to take this object and knock it down into the hole to keep the door closed. Sha'af la'achar ha'heker shal aglustera. Adayin nirakibona, even though he attached this round ball, like almost like a handle to this yosev, but nevertheless it still looks like bona, because again it's not tied down to the door. And it's something like nigra. We said in our Mishnah that nigra you're not allowed to use to close a door. But Rabbi Yossi is matir. He says, look, now it looks like a kli. And therefore, everybody sees that he's not setting it up as part of a binyan. You wouldn't take something that's a kli and add it to a structure. Om Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Eliezer says, Maisa b'beis haknesset shebet Tveria shayu nogim bo, that when they closed it up, they used this nagar, this neger, that had a gluster on the end of it. Heter, they allowed it. When Rabbi Gamliel came to that synagogue and they saw they were doing this, they said it's prohibited. Rabbi Yossi Omer, that's not the story, it's just the opposite. Isur Nagu Bo, they were more machmer mistakenly. Ubo Rabbi Gamliel Vazkenim Vihitiru Lahem, and he was matir. So this is where we're going to stop for today. Amirtz Hashem, Belineta, tomorrow we'll start on Kuf Aleph Amid Beis, the Gemara on the bottom of the Omer.